Good afternoon. This is Pastor Darrell Bailey coming to you live on Facebook Sermon Audio from People's Valley Baptist Church. I want to welcome you to People's Valley Baptist Church. I thank God for our loyal and faithful folks, our deacons. Brother Bob Carroll will be there tonight starting at 7 o'clock teaching Bible study, you know, as he's been doing for many years now. And so I want to challenge each and every one of you to come and be with him. A lot of ones that are already meeting, they'll be doing Bible study with him tonight at 7 o'clock on 68 Ledford Lane. You come and be with them over at our church. I'm here at home on Facebook doing those for many that are not able to come to the house of God or are either not able to come, and safest for them as well. So we're taking the message to them as well and using the means available. And so I thank God tonight. Want to ask you to remember several prayers here in just a few minutes that will open up with a time of prayer and have our worship time and go right into our sixth of this series in the Mountain series, Mountains of the Bible. And I thank God as we count those off, as we go through the many of those that we've been going through as well, we'll count those off here shortly and come up to where we are, the sixth in our series in Mount Carmel. I thank God. What a tremendous blessing. I thank God, Brother Deacon Bob Carroll and I, April, I think I'm like looking in my journal, April the 4th of 2008, it was a Friday, the fifth day that we were in Israel. And I thank God we were looking over. We just went over and saw the Battle of Armageddon, and we were looking over around at Mount Carmel. I thank God, and we went up on Mount Carmel, and we read the scripture that I'm going to read tonight. On April the 4th, 2008, it was a Friday, and it was the fifth day that we were in Jerusalem, amen, in Israel. And so I thank God, thank you for tuning us in, and so I thank God there's nothing like seeing what you're preaching about, amen. All the way back when Bob and I was there. April the 4th, 2008, on a Friday, the fifth day that we were in Jerusalem, that tonight I'll be teaching about Mount Carmel and Elijah. And I'm going to be giving you a challenge as well, as he gave the nation of King Ahab a challenge as well. And it challenges each and every one of us as Christians today, whether we're crippled by the things that are happening around us today. Sometimes we get sidestepped and we get crippled by things that that we have no control over. But I thank God we can stay just as close to the Lord as we want to. Amen. And so without any moment's delay, let's have us a word of prayer. And then we'll show our scripture. We'll go and read it. It's a good bit of scripture tonight. We'll start with verse 17, go all the way down to verse 46. This is Bible study, but that's what it's all about. More scripture, the better. And I thank God. I hope that you follow with us tonight, and you can just let the Lord speak to your heart tonight, what you need as well. We've got a lot of prayers and a lot of people in our church that are going through tough times right now, a lot of trials. And so I tell you, our family is right there with you. I know my aunt, Aunt Lee, and Bradford as well. But Aunt Lee, she had failed. My mom had already failed. And we're waiting out a few more weeks to where we can get her gallbladder removed, amen. And of course, at 85 years old, that's not an easy task. Right now, a lot of her skills are not come back all the way, you know, and functioning. But now she knows who we are. And so I'm praising for the Lord for that. And we're able to look through a window, amen, which is safe for everybody as well. But I thank God on further into the month, we'll be able to schedule an appointment out on the front porch, amen. And so please remember all families, not only my family, my Aunt Lee that fell, has leukemia, broke her jaw, is having to go through a lot as well. It's still in the hospital as well. And so, yes, my family as well. I'm not prone from, or I don't escape anything just being a preacher as well. I have it just like everyone else, amen. But I thank God we can hold on to the Lord's strong and mighty hand during these times, amen. Continue to remember John Underwood and LaVon. I want you to remember all of our church family at People's Valley. I may say these names, but I'm serious about praying for every one of our church family as well. We pray for each other, and we've been doing it for a very long time, amen. And it's very effective. Remember, as Brother Davey always says, every Monday, no matter what, at 7 o'clock, wherever you are, that's our corporate prayer time. Take a little time to stop and go into prayer wherever you are on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. And the Lord will reward you and the Lord will give you strength, because the greatest effective weapon that every Christian has is the power of prayer, praise God. And so I thank God as we get into our Bible study tonight, with a Wednesday night Bible study, October the 14th of 2020. I always like to do this ever since, I guess it goes all the way back to several years ago when one man of God that was sent to us, Paul Brader, began to get a lot of us more into the Hebrew studies. And ever since that he came over to our church and joined many years ago, that I've been doing this to explain it. But I always mention the Hebrew calendar because it's the most important calendar that I'll mention. Amen. This is the 26th of Tishri, the year of 5781. Remember, 5,781 years ago, amen, the Lord created this place called Earth. He gave us that in the Garden of Eden, amen. If you look at it that way, you'll never forget it. But I thank God that's the time frame according to the Hebrew calendar. Now, thank God, as we look at mountains of the Bible tonight, I've got 7 o'clock on there, but I'm a little early tonight. Normally, I'm late because of my schedules, and my schedules have been like everybody else. I have to take and do what I can do best, but forgive me for that. But I thank God my greatest heart's desire is to be right here and to be with the church, People's Valley Baptist, amen. And I thank God if there's someone else out there that's watching us, enjoy as well, praise God. I thank God our church does the same. And I thank God just enjoy whoever it is and pray for them and lift them up and listen and learn from the Word of God, amen. I thank God as we look tonight, we're fixing to get into our prayer time of prayer for these ones, and then we'll sing a short song. And right here at Mount Carmel, it's right over in this tip, and I'll mention that again in just a few minutes. You may not be able to see it good, but when I put this on sermon audio, I'll have it as a PDF, and you can download it, and every one of my PowerPoints will be on there, and you can see them up close. Amen. And so without a moment's delay, let's get over and have that time of prayer. Let me get my Bible in my hand as well, and it won't be, but this will be the last Sunday that Brother Wesley we'll be going over to Afghanistan. I'll be sending off my Bible that Bob and I, of course, this was my military Bible, but this is the one I'll be sending off with Wesley Scott to take with him as he pulls his duty over in Afghanistan coming up. This will be his last Sunday here. We'll be getting it over there and putting it in the mailbox and getting it to him to take with him as a precious word of God that he could take with him. That I went all over Israel with this, and I'm just so, amen, but it's not an idol, it's a Bible, amen. But I'm taking it and giving it to him to take over with him, and I thank God we'll be praying for you too, Brother Wesley. And we lift you up, and our hats off to all military personnel and all front lines, all police officers, all doctors, all nurses that are on the front lines. Woo! Praise God. We pray for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you for this wonderful time. We come together, Lord, asking you to intervene into the areas, those ones that have COVID. Brian Sloan, Father, Lord, I pray for his recovery, Lord, as he's battling this COVID-19. And Lord, with the passing of his mother at the same time, Father, I ask you, God, that you'll just help that family, Lord, as they come together. And Lord, as you just give them strength each and every day, Father. I remember marrying him many years ago, Father, and I pray for him, Lord, always as they're a part of my family. And Lord, the family that we hold dear. And so, Father, be the great physician that he needs, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll just touch each and every one of those doctors and nurses that are out on the front lines. Many people, Father, that have slacked off. But Lord, I pray, God, for those, Lord, that are dealing with this outbreak as well, Father. Lord, that they'll continue to protect themselves with their personal protective equipment. And God, Lord, as many people laugh at that and make fun of it, Father, I thank God that we have a way of protecting ourselves, but you're the ultimate protection that you have for the nation of the United States. And Lord, I pray, God, as I have many times, that Lord, that you'll deal with the enemy that come against our nation and that brought this to us, and that you'll bring them to their knees, Father. Lord, I ain't got to tell you how to do things. You know how to take and deal with this situation, Father. And so I just lift it up to you, Father, that you'll protect the nation of America and every U.S. citizen across its borders and every serviceman that walks a path. And Lord, that is guarding a wall. And Father, I pray, God, that you'll just bless this great nation, all of our missionaries that are on the front lines. God, tonight, I pray, God, that you'll just touch our church. And Lord, be with those that we've mentioned. But Lord, foremost, for the lost that need Jesus Christ more than anything else, I pray for all of our loved ones, Lord. Brother Bob, as he names off the list tonight over there when they meet, Father, he'll name them off one by one. But Lord, tonight, I pray, God, that you'll just, in general, Lord, as I think about each and every one of them, Lord, I pray that you'll just make a way of escape for all of our lost loved ones, our family members that have not been saved yet. We pray for their immediate salvation, that they will fall under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and come into the family of God, Lord, before it's too late. Lord, I know, God, that nobody knows the day, the time, and the hour but you. But Father, we're waiting every day, Lord, when that moment of a twinkling of an eye will take place, and God, this church will be raptured out of here and on our way to the destination that you've had plans for many years and Lord, thousands of years ago that you planned for the church. And so I pray tonight, God, that you'll go and meet with each and every one, especially as these names that's on our prayer board here tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll just intervene into their areas, Father. Those that are in the hospitals, Lord, I pray in a generality. Lord, those, Lord, that need representation in the courtroom, Father. Those, Lord, that are going under the hand of the surgeon, and God, they need a touch from you, a miracle in the making. I ask you tonight, God, that you'll come on the scene and come to their rescue, Father. And those, Lord, that are in bad shape, that are struggling, and that are going through tests and trials, Lord, I know, Father, that we have your strong and mighty hand in ours. And Lord, that we will be victorious and that we will make it through whatever difficult test and whatever trial that we're going through. Lord, it seems like every day there's something else that pops up on the radar. But Lord, you're still in control and you're still on the throne. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Lord, I know that nobody can defeat you. And Father, when we go to the mountain of challenge of Mount Carmel tonight, Lord, there was another God, a little God that tried to challenge you and the people of Israel, Lord. But Father, there was a big showdown. And Lord, I thank God that you begin to show off. And I pray tonight that you'll just speak to the church and those that need to hear from heaven tonight. That, Lord, you'll hide us behind the cross and get us out of the way. And Jesus, we thank you for saving us by your marvelous grace. And Lord, protect all of our families in harm's way and wherever they might be, Father. That, Lord, that they're away from us right now, that you'll watch over them and keep them in your strong and mighty tower. And Lord, that nothing can affect them and, Lord, that can harm them. Lord, I praise you tonight and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, I thank God. Let's get some worship going right now, amen, as we begin to think about what the Lord is going to do for us tonight. This is an old song that we used to sing back in the day over at Oakland Heights in the choir, Lita and I. And man, I tell you, we've always had some good times. But buddy, I thank God for our choir at People's Valley as well. Man, we've got dedicated folks. Of course, we haven't been able to do that because of this COVID-19. But I'm going to tell you, these church singers, I tell you, they're a blessing when you sit down at the house of God and begin to listen to the wonderful voices of God speak through them, a message that comes through song. And so be with us tonight as we hit this old song, Lean On Me. Boy, it's been a while. There are times I feel so blue, and I don't know what to do. Then I bow on bended knee. He says, child, just lean on me. Lean on me when you are sad. There's a better day ahead. Soon the lights of home you'll see. So my child, just lean on me. Loved ones leave and we're alone. Seems so hard to carry on. Then a voice so tenderly says, my child, just lean on me. Lean on me when you are sad. There's a better day ahead. Soon the lights peace of home you'll see. So my child, just lean on me. Hit it one more time. Lean on me when you are sad. There's a better day ahead. Soon the lights of home you'll see. So my child, just lean on me. Hey, man. Boy, I tell you, man, I'm going to tell you, it's been a while since we sung that one. But I thank God. I hope they're still singing that over at Oakland Heights, whoever's over there. Praise God. I thank God. This is the sixth of the mountains of the Bible, amen. Tonight, as we usually talk about somebody, the mountain climber tonight is none other than Elijah himself. Now, there's a second mountain climber that I won't get to tonight, and that'll be Elisha. Amen. He's the predecessor of Elijah. Boy, I thank God. We'll get to him next time. Every time that I have two mountain, I call them mountain climbers on the mountain of the Bible, I do a part one and a part two, amen. And part two will deal with 2 Kings, amen, chapter 4. But tonight, we're in 1 Kings, listen, chapter 18. Man, grab a hold of your Bible. Woo! Thank God we're fixing to get in the Word. Boy, I tell you, as we look in the location of this place and begin to look at it, Mount Carmel is the name of the mountain range in central Israel that lies within the borders of the ancient tribe of Asher. Now, I tell you, it runs from east to west for about 15 miles to the east, and it rises about 1,700 meters, amen, or excuse me, feet above the sea. And you can see the valley of Esdraelon or the valley of Megiddo right in here. I tell you, where we looked at the killing zone that's coming in the future. Amen. I thank God, the place where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought one day. I tell you, you can see Mount Tabor in the far distance, Nazareth and the brook Kishon, where the prophets of Baal were slain by Elijah, that we're going to get into tonight. Woo, thank God. On the northwest, it approaches near the sea, and it seems to dip into the water of the Mediterranean Sea, amen, near the city of Haffa. And I thank God that goes on up in around in here. Amen. This map is an older type map that's up to show some of the older areas, amen, that's here. And so I thank God as we look and realize as we compare ourselves tonight, we started out back September the 2nd with Mount Ararat of Noah, the mountain climber, called it the New Beginning, amen. The second one was September the 9th. Mount Moriah, the climb to faithfulness, amen. And that dealt with Abraham, amen, giving his only son as a sacrifice. But the Lord stopped him, amen, in time and said, I know that you love me, and I know that you would have gave your son if I let you, praise God. But you ain't got to do it, praise God. And it was a climb to faithfulness, amen. I thank God, September the 30th, we talked on Mount Pisgah and Mount Nebo that, the third one was Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, the mount that speaks, amen. That was September the 16th, which was the third in this series, amen. And one of our second popular ones compared to the first one since we started this one, amen. Then our fourth one was Mount Hor, the shortest way to get there, which was the fourth one of September the 23rd. Then part one of the fifth series was Mount Pisgah and Mount Nebo that revealed upon the mount. And then part two of the fifth of that series was the second one. And the first one, it dealt with the false prophet Balaam, amen. And even as the Lord took Cyrus during the time when he brought him out of Babylonian captivity and brought them out of that, amen, I thank God the Lord can do anything. During that particular time, Balaam was a false prophet, and King Balak wanted him to curse the nation of Israel, but God took his tongue and used it to bless the nation of Israel, amen. And so I thank God. Then, praise God, we got over into the second part, the finale. You can look, but that's it. That was dealing with Moses and where Moses was buried, because Moses, he could look, but he couldn't go over there. He wanted to go over into the land of milk and honey and promise, but he wasn't allowed to. God was strict. And I thank God, God is strict with each and every one of us, amen, today. And he tests us because he loves us to mature us. And so I thank God. It brings us up here to our sixth one. And tonight, I've got a reason. I call this the show off on Mount Carmel. You say, why is he going to show off? Yes, he is. Amen. He's going to show off the Lord. But I thank God you got to take yourself all the way back over to the 17th chapter. Because when you go back over into the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, here was a private ministry that was taking place with Elijah. You say, what do you mean a private ministry? Well, he wanted him to go hide himself. You see, a lot of times when we do our ministry, sometimes it's a private ministry. We may minister to somebody. Maybe it might be your husband that you minister to. It might be a private ministry where you're ministering to your sons or your daughters. Amen. It's a private ministry. For him, it was a lady that he went over. And believe it or not, he went all the way over into where Jezebel was from. And he was hanging out over around Jezebel's territory where she grew up at. And can you imagine, God says, I want you to go there. But let's look back real quickly, even though I don't have that up there. In the first verse of chapter 17 was Elijah's prophecy. It said, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. I'm going to tell you something. Elijah waited 3.5 years to preach this message. You say, what preacher? Oh, yeah. The message that he preached tonight on Mount Carmel, he waited 3.5 years to preach this message on Mount Carmel. And he's going to get up there and he's going to show off God. Hallelujah. And he's going to put the others in their place. And so his ministry started out. It was a private ministry to go hide himself over where Jezebel was from in that location. And so I thank God for 3.5 years, they had been looking for some rain. There was a drought going on. You see, the man of God, Elijah, prayed because when sin comes into the nation, God will always get our attention. I thank God. God's still trying to get the attention of America today. I tell you, with this COVID-19. And so as we look and we realize that Obadiah was was a man of God, believe it or not, but he was in service to the king Ahab. Now, I'm going to tell you, the story of that is, what's your place? You're the one that is just like the type of Obadiah. Because Obadiah was a compromising believer. And sometimes we cripple ourselves as Christians and we compromise ourselves because of certain things. And I'm going to get into that in a few minutes. But I thank God the condition of Israel described the condition of many Christians today because they're crippled and wobbly. They're unstable in their Christian walk, amen. And I want you to examine yourself tonight because Mount Carmel challenges every one of us as Elijah goes to challenge King Ahab and Jezebel and the nation of Israel because they had fallen by the wayside and they were serving a false god by the name of Baal. And so I thank God this speaks to every one of us tonight. It speaks to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so I thank God as we look at each and every one of you tonight on Facebook. But boy, I thank God. Listen, I got to finish this in 17. This is good. Amen. He said, listen, verse 2. He said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, and this is chapter 17, verse 2. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. That is before Jordan. He says, listen, I want the man of God to go hide himself. And I want him to be involved in a public, not a public, but a private ministry. I want you to go hide yourself over there where Jezebel was from. Okay. The wicked queen herself, where she's at, amen. Go over there. I thank God he said. And so I thank God he goes over there. And all of a sudden, as he's in this, it goes on. He says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and the bread of the and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Listen, there was a test that was coming his way. You see, the dry brook was Elijah's test. But I thank God there was a dead boy that was going to be the widow's test. Every one of us have a test. You say, man, that widow, you see, she wasn't a born-again believer. You say, how do you know? Because the way that she talked and how the Word of God told her that she was talking about your God. It wasn't her God. But I'm going to tell you, in that wonderful miracle, when Elijah, he passed his test. He went through the dry brook, but he was challenged about it, amen, because he complained. And I thank God that was his test. Every one of us have tests that we go through. But that lady, the widow, her son died, and that was her test to believe and to have faith. You know what it took? I thank God the first resurrection in the Bible of the Old Testament was there. And I thank God when her boy was resurrected back from the dead, that made her a believer, hallelujah. And she got into the family of God, praise the Lord, amen. It took that resurrection, but that was her test. She failed it in faith because she didn't have faith. But when her son was rose and Elijah got on him, hallelujah, with the power of God, he was resurrected. And I tell you, I thank God, what a mighty story. And so that all was the private ministry. Many of us, we may start out in ministry doing something in the back room of studying the Word of God. Maybe we're just a missionary over there and we don't feel like we're doing a whole lot of anything, but God will use all of us, amen. But I thank God we get to chapter 18. Things begin to change because this is not his private ministry. It's his public ministry. And the Lord said, I want you to go show off. I want you to go show yourself to the king. He's been looking for you. You know why he was looking for him? Because he knew he was the prophet. And he was the one that's prayed that it would not rain. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years, amen, that it didn't rain. And so Obadiah, the king, Ahab, had Obadiah out looking for Elijah. He says, I want you to go find the man of God. Amen. We need him. We know he can perform the miracle. We need some rain. It's drought, praise God. And so I thank God every one of us, when we look and we realize that here Elijah's ministry went public. It was no longer private, hallelujah. He said, I want you to go show yourself. Listen, I thank God. I'm taking you over to verse 1 of 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, you see, it done been already, when he did this pronouncing, it already been 6 months, 3.5 years of a drought. Go show thyself unto Ahab. He said, I want you to go show yourself. And I call it tonight the show off on Mount Carmel, because he went to go show off the Lord Jesus Christ and to challenge the falseness of the nation that had got sidetracked, amen. And so I thank God. He said, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to shew himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Listen, here it is. And Obadiah, I'm reading out of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 3. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. He did. He did. But I want to tell you something. He also tried to please the king. But I thank God, you know what? You got to please the real king, amen, not the natural, amen. Of course, yes, we abide by the laws, but the number one go-to is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that we have, amen. And so I thank God. Listen, he said, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and he fed them with bread and water. He saved prophets that would have been killed by Jezebel. Yeah, he's a good man. Amen. But I thank God, you know what? He's a crippled Christian right now. He's in a condition that somehow or another he's compromising, he's indecisive, and he needs to get back on track, and he needs to be unwishy-washy like he is right now, praise God. And so tonight we got to examine ourselves, amen. And so Obadiah, as we come into this tonight, let's get on over into the Word of God, amen. I thank God here, this is a picture, you probably can't see it that good, of Mount Carmel. And I thank God I called it tonight the show-off on Mount Carmel, praise God. That's why. And I tell you, these are the things I've already talked about of the mountain series tonight. I thank God this deals tonight with verses 17 all the way down to verse 46 of 1 Kings 18. Part 2, I call it, will be 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 23 through 30, which will be Elisha, amen, that we'll be talking about next time. That's part 2 of series 6, amen. And so I thank God, let's get right on into the mountain of challenge that is going to challenge every one of us tonight, amen. And so I thank God we look at a personal responsibility tonight in this challenge. I put this up because every one of us are personally responsible for ourselves, that we've got to challenge ourselves, amen. And I thank God in verses 17 and 18, that's what it deals with, amen. Remember what I put up here, what we talked about. In chapter 17, Elijah had been in a private ministry. But now, in chapter 18, he's gone public. He says, I want you to go show. You've been hiding yourself. Now go show yourself, amen. They've been searching for water in chapter 17. They've been searching for Elijah in chapter 17, verses 17 through 16, but he was hiding because the Lord instructed him to hide from them. But I thank God, later on, they were searching for God later on. And I thank God he begins to get them straight. And so here we look at Elijah and Israel that we'll be talking about in verses 30 all the way down to verse 46 later on, amen. And so tonight we start with our first verse in 1 Kings 18, 17, amen. I thank God. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now listen to this. Boy, can you imagine? He's trying to tell, the king meets Elijah and he uses the familiar tactic of intimidation and falsely accuses Elijah of being the trouble of Israel. And the word troubleth is a word which means you're messing up things. You're disturbing things in Israel. It was used to describe stirring up and muddying the water. And he was saying, Elijah, you've messed up the nation of Israel. And Ahab fails to realize that he was the troubler of Israel, not Elijah. He's playing the blame game. And I thank God, blamers, they don't take responsibility for their own actions. There's so many folks out there that want to blame somebody else, amen. It's always somebody else's fault, amen. But blamers, they don't recognize God's standards of right and wrong. They're ignored. They're creating problems, amen. They're the same problems that are blamed upon somebody else all the time. And the result of blaming is the problem never gets solved or resolved. And so the blame games, it started in the Garden of Eden, amen. When Adam and Eve sinned, it goes all the way back to there. And so I thank God, every one of us, we all have got to be able, as Elijah meets King Ahab in verses 17, 18, and 19, it's going to be dealing with Baal. And so I thank God as we see this confrontation that is taking place, amen. And so let's continue reading. It says, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. And I thank God as we look and realize that the trouble that this is causing, amen. Because I thank God, here Elijah and Baal, the prophet, was not afraid to meet King Ahab, amen. Nor was he afraid to tell the king the truth, amen. And so I thank God, the wicked always blame the believers for their troubles in the world, amen. I thank God, you know what? Those politicians right now blaming the other politician. Oh, they didn't do this, and I can do this, amen. You're hearing it more now than you ever heard. The blame game is going on, amen. But I'm going to tell you, as we challenge ourselves on Mount Carmel, as Elijah did, the nation of Israel, when he got them straightened out, amen, and began to defeat the falseness that was there, amen. Boy, I thank God. The wicked, as they always, they never think to blame their own sins. But the contest was not between Elijah and Ahab. It was between God, listen, and Baal. That's right. Hey, listen, you think you're messing with me? You better be careful, because my God will take care of you. Amen. And the same for every other Christian that is in my place here tonight. God will take care of you and you and you. If somebody mess with you, listen, you say, well, man, why don't they take care of that problem I got right now? Don't worry, they will. Oh, it's just a matter of time, and it's coming. You may not see it, but God will wipe the slate clean, hallelujah. You may not even realize it, but God will deal with what needs to be dealt with. And so I thank God. Listen, you don't have to worry about getting revenge. You don't have to worry about getting satisfied. God will take care of what needs to be taken care of. You just take care of what you got to take care of, and God will take care of everything else, hallelujah. And so I thank God. Blaming creates the tension in the families, the marriages that are crippled out there today, the crumbling like dry crackers as husbands and wives blame one another out there today, amen. It's sad, praise God. It's sad. Saul blamed the people for his disobedience in the Bible, amen. Ahab blames Elijah for the famine in the land. The world constantly blames Christians for their problems, and Christians are hated for things, amen. But I'm going to tell you something today. It's because of sin. That's right. Sin in the world. And listen, Christian, if there's something that's darkening your house these days, you better burn it. You better throw it Flush it. Get it out of your house. Get it out of your life right now. Amen. Because you're a child of the King. And you ain't got any place for anything dark that belongs in your life. You're a child of the King. Praise God. Get rid of it. Don't let it keep crippling you. Amen. Don't let it keep taking you down that dark place. You're the light of the world. Hallelujah. Get up on the mountaintop and shine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Boy, I tell you, as Paul and Silas were accused of troubling back in their days, Christians today are. But I tell you, they blame the Christians when Nero burnt Rome. Amen. But I think Elijah's not intimidated, but he boldly encounters Ahab's false accusations. And he firmly takes this king head on, praise God. And he tells the king, you're the troublemaker, amen, king. You're the one because of the sin and your wife Jezebel that's brought all of this worshiping that's false in the nation of Israel, amen. Ahab was the troublemaker and Elijah was the troubleshooter. Amen. Woo, thank God. Boy, I tell you, and he was troubleshooting, praise God. I tell you, he was troubleshooting Israel. They needed something. The forsaking of God's commandments, amen. There was the fear of the world that they had as well. Trouble begins, and trouble forsakes the word of God and the God of the word. If you forsake the Lord and his word, you're going to bring trouble into your life. Amen. You're going to mess up. You're going to muddy up the waters of your life. And you're going to be crippled spiritually. Amen. And so I thank God. Listen, that may not even be your case. Maybe you're just like Elijah. You're going through a test. Amen. Maybe you got a dry spell going on right now. Amen. That's what I call it as a preacher when somebody ain't got saved in a while. And I've been praying, Lord, man, I tell you, you know what? But I thank God, listen, how about getting ready for a message about 3.5 years to preach it? Huh? That takes some patience. That takes some doing. But 3.5 years of this drought, I tell you, Ahab was whining. They were searching for Elijah because he could produce the water. He could undo what had been prayed, amen. But he's not going to do that until, you see, listen, when a sin is involved, sin has to be dealt with and judged. And once it's dealt with, when them 850 prophets of Baal are dealt with on Mount Carmel, hallelujah, the rain will come back. Amen. It will rain in your life. It will, praise God, even if the sun comes up, hallelujah. You'll be getting some dew and good old H2O. Thank God. It doesn't matter about the riches of the world. Amen. Listen, but I tell you, every one of us, we've got to go forward. We can't follow. The relationship with this world and the romance with worldliness, it's got to stop. Hallelujah. And so I thank God as we look, he tells us, there's an image I put up there of the day of Baal Hamon, which is the image, that the false image that they worshipped during that time that took them away from God himself. Amen. What a shame today that we, listen, you may laugh at this little image right here. But there's a many of us out there that we got our own images that we're worshiping right now. There's somebody out there worshiping drugs right now. They're worshiping alcohol. Some people worship their jobs. Their whole thing is all about their job. Hey, some people come home and they can't do nothing but play games all night long. That's all. They're gangsters, amen. That, you know what? They ain't got any time for their family or nobody else, amen. It's all about them. But I'm going to tell you tonight, we begin to look and realize the challenge of not only there needs to be a personal responsibility that we take for ourselves, amen, but a preeminent master that we all serve, amen. Because I thank God as we look and realize that he says here, Elijah, as he meets King Ahab, and he goes on, he says, now therefore send and gather to me all of Israel. Now notice what I'm reading here. This is what he's doing. If you ain't catching this, you're the king of the nation of Israel. And I'm telling you, I'm just a prophet. But I'm the prophet of God. I'm telling you what to do. Now listen, let's watch, read. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel under Mount Carmel and prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. You see, he ain't asking. He's telling King Ahab, you get them all over here on Mount Carmel now. That's what he's doing, praise God. That's boldness. That's the man of God, hallelujah. He goes on, he said, Ahab, send unto all the children of Israel and gather the prophets together unto Mount Carmel, hallelujah. And so listen, and Elijah came unto all the people and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Boy, I thank God every one of us. It's a famine problem. But Elijah's got a solution. Curiosity. He wants to see what he's going to do. You know, the king Ahab does. And so, the power of God is working in this situation. Hey, listen. Right now in America, the power of God is working still. You may not can see it. You may not know, but it is working just like it always has. Hallelujah. And the choice that we look, he goes on in verse 21, and Elijah speaks to the people, and he confronts every one of them about the double-mindedness, about the indecisiveness, the unreasonableness. And he asks, you know, hey, you know what? How long are you going to hesitate between two opinions? Because in the Hebrew, it can be rendered, how long will you limp along between two crutches or twigs and do this? The word halt, it carries the idea of wavering and tottering and swaying and limping. And God's people were crippled by this indecisiveness. They were tottering back and forth between Baal, God, God, Baal, Baal, God, God, Baal. Man, I'm going to tell you, they were desiring the best of both worlds, just like people do today. They were not sold out to Baal. But they were not loyal to the Lord either. They enjoyed all of the sexual rituals of the Ashtoreth and the Baal worship, but they doubted Baal's power. There had been no rain for 3.5 years. Well, where's Baal at? You know what? Baal, did you know that where they were at here on Mount Carmel and all, that was the home court. If you study your history, this goes all the way back to the Phoenicians thousands of years ago. This same area in Mount Carmel, in the mountain areas that I showed you earlier on the geographical map, was a known place. This was the home turf for Baal, which was what? He was the god of the weather. He was the god of storms. And yet he couldn't even produce fire, let alone rain. And so here was what Baal's power was all about. Nothing. Nothing. And so there'd been no rain. He was the farm god. And when lightning and thunder, the people would say, hey, there's Baal. He's lightning tonight. Woo! Oh, I tell you, the famine created debates and doubt and confusion and emptiness in all the people. And the price of compromise crippled the people. Their sin was expensive as food and water was scarce. And the nation was destroyed and the people were dying. God's people were crippled by double-mindedness and indecisiveness. And so this was the purpose of the showdown. There was no middle ground with God. He says, I'm going to show off on Mount Carmel. Amen. I tell you, as we look, there's no straddling the spiritual fence when it comes to him. Two masters? Uh-uh. No. You better choose one or the other out there today. Amen. And I thank God. He wants us to make up our minds and choose him. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so I thank God. You'll remain crippled. You'll be tottering and limping along as a Christian as long as you're double-minded trying to serve two masters. Now, I tell you, you're going to make God sick by your lukewarmness. Yeah, you really will. And so there's crippled Christians that are out there today that's going through this, and so we've got to get above that. Amen. And so as we continue reading, it says, we see the proof pertaining to this challenge, that he's going to be challenged, Baal. And I thank God. Remember, he's not going up against Elijah. Elijah is representing there. He's the man of God, the prophet of God. He's going up against God. Amen. Listen, don't never sell yourself short. When somebody's going to go up against you, they're going up against God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you got to realize that the power of God indwells you. You are not just a nobody. You're somebody to God. God loves you. And he sent his son to die for every one of us. Amen. And so I thank God we begin to realize that you're fixing to see a fight like you ain't never saw in your life. Amen. I tell you, you ain't never saw a fight like what the Bible has. Amen. Well, I thank God. Here of Scripture, we read of one of the most memorial showdowns of all history. Amen. It's almost like the Clash of the Titans. Amen. A titan was a person of colossal size and strength and achievement. And one corner, we got the God of the universe. And here, Elijah, a titan of faith and courage. And the other corner was the reputation of Baal and all of his worshipers. That was way back on the home turf, all the way back to the day of the Phoenicians. Amen. King Ahab and Jezebel were the titans of wickedness. And the lessons we learn from the clash of these titans are the lessons that we can apply in our lives today to be better Christians. Be better Christians, People's Valley. They're lessons that we don't need to forget, because the Titans, they take their place up on top of Mount Carmel. I've been to that place where I believe the clash took place, amen. I just told you back where it was. April the 4th of 2008, on the fifth day when I was in Israel, that I looked over and I saw Mount Carmel, amen. Then we went over and we was there. And I thank God, man, I ain't tell you, it ain't nothing like that. The place of this plateau that is there, praise God. The highest point, as I said, about 1,700. It's about 1,742 feet high, amen. And I thank God, here is the challenge of this contest, amen, that Elijah is going to prove to everyone of the nation of Israel who the true God is, amen. And so I thank God, the New Testament teaches the same truth, that as we look and realize all of ourselves today, Elijah sincerely believes that he alone, as he stands, I thank God that he tells us, listen, as we continue on, he says, "Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men." Boy, it sounds like an impossible way to win. But you see, God, nothing is impossible. I thank God. I got this little board. Y'all can't see it right here, but let me hold it up. This is my little prayer board. Right down at the bottom, it says, "When life gives you more than you can stand, kneel. Kneel at the cross. Kneel to the power of prayer." Because I thank God, every one of us, it is through that. Elijah, he's selling himself. He said, "Man, I'm the only one left." No, God's still there. God's going to do everything that needs to be done. You won't have to do it. Sister, brother, whoever you are, you won't have to do it. God has the power to do it, and he'll take care of it, amen. I assure you. And it goes on in verse 23. Boy, I tell you, I better hurry up and get with this, because there's a lot of reading. He said, "It's so good, I can't stop. Let them, therefore, give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Boy, I thank God. It goes on in verse 25. "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it." Amen. Well, I thank God. They took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it. They called it on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "Oh, Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that it answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and he said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or a peradventure. He's sleeping, must be awakened." Boy, he's making fun of their god, ain't he? Huh? You know? "And they cried aloud," in verse 28, "and cut themselves after this manner with knives and lancelets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded." I thank God. Boy, I thank God. When we begin to realize this, it was proof that was pertaining to this challenge, because God is going to show up. And the prayer and the phenomenal faith is fixing to come forth. Because what did I just say? Whenever you get in dire need, when life gives you more than you can stand, kneel. Kneel. Amen. Get down on your knees and kneel, praise God. Prayer and the phenomenal faith is what we're fixing to talk about in verse 30. Because here, as we see an old picture of Elijah out there and his altar that was built, remember, everything had to be by hand. Nothing cut with chisels at all. It had to be natural altars, amen, of stone that was made according to the word of God. Amen. In verse 30, that we see that it talks about. And it says, "And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down." Now, I'm going to tell you something. Man, when you begin to get that altar right, boy, I'm going to tell you something. That is a powerful thing. Because when we begin to look at our lives, you know, when we begin to look for revival, it'll start by repairing the personal altar of our lives, in our homes, amen. The altar of sacrifice. that communion with God, because many of us, we need to have that altar. And I thank God, that's exactly what he said. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That's important. That's why I read it again. That's powerful. Listen, if your altar has been broken, you need to repair it and get back in that prayer closet. You need to get back at your bedside. You need to find a place somewhere and call on the name of Jesus. That's right. That's the greatest, the quickest, the fastest plan that will come for your survival, for your help and your rescue, is when you kneel on your knees. Praise God. Verse 31, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Build your altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as it would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order. And he cut the bullock in pieces. And he laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. Now listen, wait for it. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Boy, I tell you, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Boy, I thank God when we realize that the Lord is who he says he is. He says in verse 40, and Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, and let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishron and slew them there. And listen, what did I say earlier? When sin is dealt with, if there's sin, if there's darkness in the child of God, you ain't got to get saved all over. But if there's sin in your life, when you get rid of it and when you clean it up, that's when the victory will come. This was sin, and it had to be dealt with. It was falseness, and it had to be snuffed out. And as soon as this is snuffed out, the rain will come. I thank God. He goes on. And I thank God of the persistence we see. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up. Now listen, who's he talking to? He's telling the king. He's bossing him around again. You see, because here he came to show off on Mount Carmel. He says, now, king, I want you to get yourself on back toward the palace. And by the time that you get back toward the palace, the drain is going to be coming on down. Now listen, let's read it. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. And Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked, and he said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And he went up, and he went up, and he went up, and he went up 7 times. Listen, let's keep reading. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Boy, I thank God. Every one of us, here's the plainness, here's the openness of this whole thing. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was great rain. And Ahab rode and he went to Jezreel. Well, I thank God. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Can you imagine? He outrun him. Now, I thank God that brings us to the end. But I thank God every one of us, when we look and realize that Elijah still had the work to do. To begin with, he had the false prophets that he had to take care of. Every one of them, amen. He had to rebuild the altar. He had to remove evil, amen. And I thank God we've got to remove evil from our lives. And the prophet told the king to get back home. And I thank God, he said, by the time that you get back home, the rain will be on its way. Boy, I thank God every one of us as we go through life today. Every one of us, when we begin to listen to the Lord, what the Lord has for us to do. Because I thank God there was a show-off on Mount Carmel. And of all the things that we see today, every one of us, there are areas of your life this evening that if you're honest, you'd have to say, well, you know what? I need to get a little bit closer to the Lord. Maybe you would like to come to that altar right now and confess things and experience God's power in forgiveness. You can do that because I can't see you. You can see me, but I can't see you. But you can do that right now. You can call and ask God, Lord, there's something in my life right now that doesn't belong there. And Lord, I know you know it, but Lord, I want to plead the blood of Jesus. Are you able to see that right now, that whatever it is, maybe it's something that you need to take to the Lord in prayer and pray with me about, and that's what we'll do just in a minute. But maybe you'd like to come and pray and ask the Lord. Maybe you're praying for your church, that your church will get things back going, amen, and things will begin to return to normal, amen. Maybe you're praying for this election and the next leader, amen. But I thank God every one of us, we've got to take a stand for Jesus. Obadiah, he was working both sides. He was the typical compromising believer that stands there as a type of every one of us today as a Christian. I thank God. If you'll come to him and receive him, I thank God the Lord will bless you. Listen, you might have a private ministry, but before long, he'll make your ministry public. And he says, I want you to go show yourself. Go show yourself, because when you show yourself, you're going to show the Lord. And you're going to give glory to him in whatever it is that you do. I've been long-winded tonight, but I'm going to tell you, whatever you do, ladies and gentlemen, you show the Lord and you show it good, because you're a light that is standing in a dark world out there today. It's getting darker every day. But no, it's not. You're still here. I'm still here. The church is still here. But when we're gone and when the rapture comes, it'll really be dark. And so I hope and pray God bless you as our prayers tonight. Father, I pray for the many that have tuned us in tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll just touch us. And Lord, be with the many, Lord, that needs a touch from you. Lord, they need, Lord, a challenge. Lord, tonight, as Elijah challenged King Ahab and the nation of Israel, Lord, I pray that you will challenge those that are listening tonight. And Lord, that they will get all of the things that are setting them back and get them out of the way. Whatever excuse, and get ready to show off the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wherever they are and be a blessing to those. Because Lord, you are the one that blessed us. And we are the blesser today. May we give glory to you in everything that we do. No matter how hard or how times are or how testing the times are. Lord, I pray, may we always give glory and honor to you in all that we say and do. And Lord, bless our testimony. Let our lights shine more than they ever have. Let our faith grow even closer to you more than they ever have. Lord, because you have a plan for all of us tonight. Be with the many that needs forgiveness in their lives. And Lord, there's someone out there tonight that's never got to first base. I pray for that lost sinner. Lord, they've been fighting it. They've been running. They've been running for a long time. But Lord, tonight, you're passing by. And Lord, they're listening tonight. I pray for their salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I pray for their salvation tonight. Convict them. And Lord, bring them in to confess and ask you to be the keeper of their souls before it's too late tonight. And Lord, I just thank you for letting us read your word of God tonight out of 1 Kings 18. Lord, help us as we continue and go forward. Hold our hands with your mighty hand. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.